Good morning, St. Matthew's. Good morning, St. Matthew's, whether you're sitting in the pew, whether you're sitting at home watching it live, or whether you're watching it some other time, maybe later today or later in the week. You're very welcome to join us for worship this morning. The words to be said, we're going to come up on the screen, and basically the rule is I say the words in white and you respond, please, with the words in yellow. Our opening words of worship this morning are very simple, but I think very powerful, words that we need to remind ourselves of quite a lot at the moment. So let's stand together and let's say these words. And we're going to do them a few times, so Jason, if you can go back and forth, that'd be brilliant. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. God is good. All the time. Right, let's say, I know we're not allowed to shout behind our mask, but let's say it like we really mean it, like we live our lives by this. God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good. All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time. Thank you. Excellent. Let's carry on in that enthusiastic vein as we come to share in our first hymn of praise. Obviously, if we're in the building, we're not singing, but if you're at home, that's the advantage. You can sing as loudly as you want, but we can all share in the sentiment of it. Praise is rising. Thank you. Do sit down. Well, it's been a bit of a week, hasn't it? And perhaps you won't be surprised that the confession that came to my mind that we might say today is the one that includes the words, bless this mess. So we are going to come to God now to confess our sins, not only our personal sins, but the sins of our world, of how we are and who we live and how our societies are structured and everything about this earth. And so the response to the words, dear God, the response please is, bless this mess. So we'll come to God and we'll have a few moments just to think of anything that maybe particularly we come to church burdened by, something we know we've done wrong or something we haven't done which we should have done. And we want to bring and confess that to God, but then there's these more, the wider issues we'll speak about too. So let us confess our sins to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are sorry that because we are often careless, we have spoiled your world. Dear God, bless this mess. We are sorry that because people are sometimes angry and jealous, there are wars and violence. Dear God, bless this mess. We are sorry that because we are greedy, many of the good things in the world are not shared around fairly to all people. Dear God, bless this mess. We are sorry that because we are thoughtless, we upset our friends and families and you. Dear God, bless this mess. We say together, Father God, thank you that you can change the mess we make into good things, and that you will always forgive us when we say sorry. Amen. Hear and believe these words of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Come and follow me. Well, we're nearly at the end of the story of Joseph, and I thought it would be good to have our reading from one of our online community this morning. So I'm delighted that Paul Mackey is going to come and bring us our Bible reading. He actually did the same at 9 o'clock, so he is on double pay this week. That's the good news.
When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now, please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their messages came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great. Thank you to Paul Mackey. Nice to see him. He hasn't been able to come to church since March, so it's great to see him. I know Paul and Judith are faithful members of our online community, so it's great to have him represented here this morning. We are nearly at the end. We're nearly there. Joseph has moved on from annoying younger brother through prisoner, hero, son, father, and natty dresser. And he dies at the age of 110. We've reached the end of the story. Phew. I wonder what sort of story you might think it has been. Well, bit of a thriller. The story about Benjamin stealing the cup or not stealing the cup. What about romance? Well, not much romance. I couldn't work out much romance in the story of Joseph, I had to say. Action-packed? Yes, pretty much. Morality tale? Yes. Lots of different sort of elements of the story. Before we finish Joseph's story, I just want to make a few comments and sort of pack it up for us. Let's just have a look at the list, or think about the bit that Paul has just read us. Jacob dies, so that's Joseph's dad, do you remember? He dies, and his brothers are worried that Joseph might now get his revenge on them. So forgiveness is a key theme in this part of the story. And Joseph speaks these wonderful words. He says to his brothers, you could try this sometime at home. Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. I wonder if any of you might ever think that about your brother or your sister. You could say to them, even though you intended to do me harm, God intended it for good. That was a pretty wise Joseph, wasn't it, who said those words. What else happens in these last three chapters of Joseph? Well, way, way back many years ago, or many weeks ago, feels like years, I started this whole story saying we were going to see the movement within the story of Joseph from an individual to a nation, Israel, and a movement across and an understanding of the importance of land. And we see these two themes in the chapter 49. And this is a chapter which talks about Joseph giving blessings to his 12 sons. Now we know Jacob had, Alex, how many sons did Jacob have? Do you know? Ask your mum to whisper it in your ear and then tell us. 12. That's right. Excellent. Jacob had 12 sons. And what he did is he blessed each son in turn. And he blessed not only the son, but also the tribe that this son was going to give his name to. And the blessings he gave reflected the sort of person that the son was, as I said, but the sort of tribe that tribe would what would happen to that tribe, where that tribe would end up. Now, if you get involved in the commentaries, there are lots and lots of problems with chapter 49 of Genesis. But if you're not too, if you don't delve too deeply, there are some great joys. And one of the great joys is some windows that I want to show you. So we'll have our first picture, maybe. These are windows, stained glass windows. They're in a hospital in Jerusalem. And there are 12 of them, and they were designed by the artist Marc Chagall. And he did a window for each son. And I want to look at the next one, please. This is the picture to describe the tribe of Reuben, the first son of Jacob. And in the blessing, Jacob describes him like a roaring sea. Do you think that's a good picture of a roaring sea? I think it's pretty good. And the reason Jacob described him as a roaring sea was he was powerful, but unreliable. The idea was, the blessing was sort of warning, if you like, Reuben, that he was going to be firstborn, but he wouldn't excel. He wouldn't go the furthest of all the sons, because normally it was thought the first son was the most important and they would do the best. And the blessing that Jacob gave him was saying that he wouldn't. Can you see why it's fish? Oh no, we're just in there. Can you see the fish swimming around and the birds over the air? Let's have a look at the next one. Thank you. Another window. This is the tribe of Judah. And the blessing that Jacob gave told Judah that he was going to be, his tribe were going to be kingly. They were going to be in charge. They were going to be kings. Can you see anything in that picture? You have to look really carefully, particularly at the top. Anything that suggests being a king, being regal. Can you see anything in the top? Crown, yes, thank you. Crown right in the top, being held by two hands, holding a crown. And then finally, the next picture. Let's just have a look at this. This is the picture of the tribe of Joseph. And I wonder if you can spot, I think it's not easy. I think I could perhaps spot a couple of things that made me think of the Joseph story. Have a look at that for a little while. What I want to suggest is that the blessings that Jacob gave are an example of the sort of now and not yet that we're quite familiar with about Jesus. Because, as I say, Jacob is talking about the son currently and the tribe extending into many years ahead. Now, I can't go into it here, but it's funny that because his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, are honored, there is actually in the Bible no tribe named after Joseph himself, despite that picture. And it seems really weird to me that you've had the whole story of Joseph and all the great things he's done, and at the end of it, he doesn't get a tribe named after him. All of Jacob's other sons who have committed murder and lying and deceitfulness, they haven't committed murder, they tried to, didn't they, with Joseph, they get, you know, their names go down in history as tribes of Israel, but not poor old Joseph. Let's have a look at the next picture, just so while you're looking at it, just have a look in that. See if you can spot, see how many animals maybe you can spot in that picture for the tribe of Dan. And before we leave these blessings, I just want to bring us up to date why something like this is relevant today. You can't just say, oh, well, it's Old Testament stuff. We're not really very interested in that. The other reason why this is really interesting is that, because I said it's the movement between an individual to a nation, Israel, but it's also about the land and shows us how important the land was, giving land to the tribes. But it's also showing how closely the people of Israel, in their very understanding of themselves, is linked to the land itself. Their identity as a tribe is linked with the land they were given. And we know nowadays, only too sadly, don't we, how this linking of the land to the people causes part of the cause of the friction in Israel and Palestine, because their identity is so grounded, literally, in the land. And so that's an issue that we see in Genesis right back there, but is still tragically playing its way out today. Anybody? I'll tell you the animal I can see in the middle. Can you see the serpent? Can you see in the middle the serpent sort of coiling up? That, for the Dan, it's a small nation. Dan was only going to be a small nation. And the serpent biting, the idea from Jacob's blessing, that it would be, it would sort of, although it was small, it was deadly, it could sort of bite back and it could make its presence felt. And the last one in this bit is Levi, the tribe of Levi. They're the priestly tribes, and so they're lawgivers. And maybe you can see in this at the bottom, it looks a bit like the synagogue. It looks like the Torah on the two pieces of stone. You can see some candlesticks. suggesting the sort of priestly function of the tribe of Levi. Well, I'm going to ask certain people in the congregation to have a bit more think about these stained glass windows in a while. But before we move on to that, we are going to have an action song. So we are going to sing I Am a City on a Hill. We have some actions for these. I normally change them as we go along and make the best ones up that you can. I think we do I Am a City on a Hill. I am a light in the darkness. Jesus living in me can change the world. And if Simon's coming up to sing, he'll have to do the actions too. He'll be glad to know. So let's stand and sing this action song. I am a city on a hill. We can sing together, come. Thank you very much. Do sit down. We have our creed, and it's coming up on the screen. And I guess I shouldn't have asked you to sit down because you need to stand up again. So let's say it. Nothing if not a bit of activity. So let us use these words to reflect on the nature of the God who we come here to praise and worship. There is one God and Father. From him all things come. There is one Lord Jesus Christ. Through him all things come. There is one Holy Spirit. In him we are baptized into one body. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Do sit down. Now, Mike, you need to run round with the activity sheets. I didn't want you to do them beforehand, but basically what I'd like you to do, if you can, in the next while, you've got four pictures of four of the windows, and on the back it says, design a picture for yourself, including things which are important to you or tell us about you or your family. So just as you've seen in these pictures, elements of who you are, what your family is, please, the challenge is, while I'm talking in the next while, to see what you can come up with on this picture. And what we'll do is we'll try and have a look at them at the end of the service. Design your own Chagall window. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I like that. Good. But the rest of you get to listen. So I hope we've all enjoyed something from the story of Joseph. It's been quite a story, isn't it? Hasn't it? But we're all in the middle of another story at the moment. And the story we're all part of is, let's face it, not much fun. And the thing about the story we're all in at the moment is we don't actually know quite how it's going to end. We know in the story that we're in the midst of that there's going to be pain and difficulty for many. And most of us would admit to something ranging between mild anxiety to full-blown panic, all accompanied by the soundtrack of the 24-hour news channel, which churns the same stories over and over until we can find ourselves wading through interminable and cloying despondency. This week, the Bishop of Manchester spoke of the church needing to be a powerful champion of the mental resilience which is needed at present. We need to be, as individuals and as a church coming together, powerful champions of the mental resilience which is needed at present. And I want to suggest that the reason we are equipped to do this and to be this is because we have a bigger picture. We know a bigger story, if you like. And that bigger story is the one which we already know the ending. Because to some extent, the ending of our story has already happened. In our bigger story, we know that Jesus Christ was crucified. But we also know that he rose from the dead 3 days later. He overcame death, and in so doing, he brought a chunk of the end of the story, God's ultimate victory, right into the present. And that leads to the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God. It means that we can sometimes now see glimpses of the kingdom of God around us because of what happened to Jesus on the cross and then his overcoming of it all on Easter Sunday. Though, as we are so aware, whilst the battle has been won, there are still skirmishes to be fought with the powers of evil. That we are still captive to sin in a world of pain and suffering and death is testament to this. But we have the current hope of something better now and into the future. This is our story. As the communion, one of the communion versions sings, this is our story, this is our song. It's the bigger picture which we need to take hold of now. And we need to remind ourselves of the ultimate ending of our story as we travel together through this difficult time. We have a hope which is certain, a hope which is true. We know the ultimate end of our story. And that seems to be a really important thing to hold on to, a reminder as we come to the end of the story of Joseph, as we come to the end of the book of Genesis in our sermon series. Through the stories and the themes from Joseph's life, we've seen God working all the way through it in the background of the story. He hasn't spoken and encountered lots of people as he had earlier in Genesis. Much more, he's worked along in the background. In week one, I said this, that we see God weaving threads of goodness, mercy, and judgment into the texture of ordinary life, working towards the best possible end. God weaving those threads of goodness, mercy, and judgment, just like the threads of Joseph's multicolored coat, threads of goodness, mercy, and judgment into the texture of ordinary life, working towards the best possible end. That's what Joseph's story is about, and that's the story which we continue to inhabit now, but we have the advantage of knowing the end story because we know Jesus Christ. We have a life lived into eternity with Jesus Christ. So my encouragement this morning as we end this sermon series is that we may be struggling to hold on to that at the moment, but it doesn't stop it being true. We know our story. Let it be our song. Let it be something that comes to our lips and our hearts readily in these times. I'm not saying it's easy for anyone, but let's rejoice in the story which we know we're part of. And let's join in trying to establish that sort of mental resilience that as Christians we know we have because of the love and the saving actions of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to confuse us by just going to our notices. Sorry, guys. So I just want to make a few notices. You don't need this. Yeah, there's a couple slides on. Just to say, next week we've got our APCM. It's going to be 11:15. The idea is that we will have our usual 10:30 service. You'll stay in your seats at the end of it, and we'll move to the APCM. So please, if you regularly come to the 10:30 service, great, come along and you can be in person for the APCM. Otherwise, we're going to do it on Zoom and we're letting those codes out. But there's some sort of question of security a bit about Zoom codes, so we're being slightly careful about doing that. We've got great nominations for wardens, PCC members, deanery synod reps. Very excited about people coming on board. If you're still interested, though, it's not too late, but I am trying to avoid an election, I have to say, although I'm not allowed to say that, really. Other things to say, I'll give you a notice sheet on your way out. Please, at the end of the service, there will be somebody here directing you to leave, because that's a bit of a bottleneck. So we're trying to let people sort of leave carefully, observing social distancing. So please follow whoever is here directing that, and I'll give you a notice sheet outside. There's a couple of events also on that notice sheet about a service of remembering and thanking for those who have lost loved ones in the year. And also we're having an away morning, just a couple of hours on Zoom. It won't be a solid 2 hours of Zoom, don't worry. We should have been, some of us would have been away on our away weekend this weekend. We can't do that, so we thought a bit of a morning. Bit more chance to chat to people in breakout rooms, a bit more teaching, a bit of worship, something a bit different. Saturday, the 14th of November, details on that notice sheet and on the website, or there will be. Finally, I think the only notice I particularly wanted to give was about rotas. Rotas are always a thing in church, and they are causing a real headache to people like Jackie and Julie at the moment, because what we were relying upon was people signing up to offer to do rota helps. You can sign up, there's a link on the COVID page on the website. If you go to the COVID page, it says sign up for welcomer. And it's a really simple thing. If you can't be bothered with that, just tell Jackie when you're prepared to be a welcomer or a sides person-y person. Just so much time and energy and worry is being wasted by people doing that. So please, if you reckon to be regularly coming at 11 o'clock and 10:30, I reckon you should probably reckon to be on a rota maybe 1 in 3 weeks at the moment. So if you're not doing that, please have a think whether you could be volunteering to do that. Not if you're over 80, please, but less than that, please do volunteer, just to take some of the angst out of people who are working hard at the moment to make services run. Thank you. And by the way, just to remind you, clocks go back 1 hour next week. That's on the notice sheet, but don't forget. Thank you. Those are all the notices. What we're going to do, it's a communion service this morning, so we're going to have prayers now, and then we're going to go straight into our communion service. So let us pray. God of compassion, Be close to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. In their loneliness, be their consolation. In their anxiety, be their hope. In their darkness, be their light, and show us how we can be light in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces, to strangers and friends and family alike. Although distanced, may we shine with your light and love. We pray for our world, for the news items which would be headlines but for COVID, for the American elections, for the killing of a teacher in France this week, for Brexit negotiations, for the plight of the Uyghur Muslims, for all those whose stories haven't made the headlines this week. As we continue to focus on the effects of the pandemic in our own country. Heavenly Father, give us the confidence to speak our story of love and hope and grace in a world of darkness and pain. Help us to experience your comfort when we ourselves feel downtrodden and overwhelmed by events. Help us to hold on to your hope and the knowledge of the end of our story being an eternity lived with you. We are your people, Heavenly Father, and we pray for your guidance, for your inspiration, and for your love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Collect for the Week. Faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases, and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love, new every morning, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are about to turn to communion. But I'm just going to ask if I might have a volunteer. I'm thinking maybe either Ellis or Elliot. Volunteering, don't have to come out. Well done. Oh, sorry, hang on, I'll put my mask on. And actually, as I come back, if you've got a sheet you want to show the world of your Chagall window, then do hand it to me as I come back. So, I'm just going to turn my speaker off for 1 minute. we have, oh, sorry. We have, can we, how close up can we go? Am I going to make myself unpopular? No. Okay. Brilliant though. We've got pussy cats. People like cats. I can tell on that one. No dinosaurs on yours. Perhaps there isn't. Is there a dinosaur on yours, Alex? A dragon. Excellent. So you've got yours. This one is a good one. This is people. I think this is family and the world in this picture. Let's show that one. Picture, Nathan, family, you've got your family in the picture and the world. That was your one, wasn't it? I think that was great. And then Matilda, you've got people and life and my family and a cat, I think, and church and a cross. Am I saying the right things? I think I am. And Elliot, you've got some very cool signs and some initials that I don't understand, apart from LFC. I can probably work out what that one is. But you're quite in favor of peace, which is nice, and some crosses and a communion cup. And BLM, thank you, with a big tick next to that. Brilliant, lots of different pictures. Do take these on the way out. Thank you for doing those. I think you probably get a round of applause for those. They are great. I love the cat one. Thank you. I'll just move that there. So as I said earlier, we are going to come now to communion. So can I invite you to stand for the peace? The peace of the Lord be always with you. We offer each other a responsible, socially distanced sign of peace. Peace be. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Why is it right to give thanks and praise?
Listen and we will hear. Lord of all life, you created the universe where all living things reflect your glory. You give us this great and beautiful earth to discover and to cherish. You give us happy times and things to celebrate. In these we foretaste your kingdom, a feast for all your children. You made us all each wonderfully different to join with the angels and sing your praise. We say together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We thank you, loving Father, because when we turned away, you sent Jesus, your Son. He gave his life for us on the cross and shows us the way to live. Send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us Christ's body and his blood.
Why do we share this bread and wine?
Listen, and we will hear. On the night before he died, when darkness had fallen, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this to remember me." After they had eaten, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." So, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate his love, his death, his risen life. As you feed us with these gifts, send your Holy Spirit and change us more and more to be like Jesus, our Savior.
How do we follow Jesus Christ?
Listen, and we will hear. Help us, Father, to love one another as we look forward to that day when suffering is ended and all creation is gathered in your loving arms. And now with all your saints, we give you glory through Jesus Christ in the strength of the Spirit, today and forever. Amen. So now, as we sit, we say together the prayer which our Saviour taught us. Thank you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. For those who are not able to receive the bread and wine of communion, but are at home, a prayer of spiritual communion. Come, Lord Jesus, dwell in me and send your Holy Spirit that I may be filled with your presence. As the hem of your garment touched in faith healed the woman in the gospel, so may I be healed. Although I cannot receive you in the sacrament, I can, through this offering of my prayer, receive you in my heart. Grant this for Christ's sake. Amen. I will be receiving the wine on your behalf, and you will just be receiving the bread. And so I say now to all, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. Amen. You'll be invited to come up to receive communion by a steward, starting from the back, and please observe the markers on the carpet to maintain 2 meters distance. If you're sitting on an aisle seat, can I ask you please to move back and allow people along your aisle to come out first, and then as you've taken a communion, you'll have your hands sanitized and then back through the north room and creche and back to your seats, please. for those who have not come up to receive the bread and wine, a prayer of blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you know his peace and your love in your hearts this week. Amen. We say together this prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. We're going to finish our service with a hymn that I'm sure you're going to end up just humming in your heads as we share together in the hymn Amazing Grace. God the Father keep you in his care. The Lord Jesus Christ be your constant friend. And the Holy Spirit guide you in all you do, now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.